I wonder, do we take the time to ask the Lord each day to guide our steps? It's easy to grab hold of the big picture, isn't it? Or the big goal, and forget about the little steps that are required each day to get us to that goal, or that calling, or that dream. We're each called to go and make disciples. And some of us may find that command very daunting, because it's a big goal, isn't it? To see somebody's life turn around and be a committed follower of Christ. But today, I wonder, is the Lord asking you to take a small step? To guide you in where you should be going and who you should be talking to and where the day might lead you? In a week or in a year, we might be amazed to see how far we have come as we look back, as long as we are faithful with the small individual steps that we take. In many ways, it's like doing a jigsaw. I thought of you when I thought of this, John. But you have the box with all its pieces in, and you have this wonderful picture on the front that looks really, oh, this should be quite easy. But there's lots of blue, and there's lots of green, and lots of the same colours. And when you open it up and you take it out of the box and you think, well, I've got 1,000 pieces. How on earth am I going to put all these colours in the right place in the right time? But it's only through one piece at a time do we do that. You can't throw it up in the air and it land all in its right place, although it would be wishful thinking, wouldn't it? But that sense that it's that small step, repetitive step, time and time again, one piece after another, as with the jigsaw. It's a bit like our building development. It's a large amount of money that is required, but as we trust God and ask him for what and where we should be going and how we should be doing, it's in the small steps that he guides us. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That is faith. The classic example of this that I was reminded of is the story of Joseph. Joseph, as we know, had a dream. He saw that his brothers were going to bow down and worship to him. He knew that was what was going to happen. And he went and bragged to his brothers. And as we know, his brothers tried to kill him. And it was many years later, as the fulfillment of that vision, step by step by step, did it come to pass. But it was only in the walking of that did that happen. So let us not rush ahead of God. Let us ask God each day what he wants us to do and where he wants us to be. How that we can be, Scripture calls, his hands and feet in the day-to-day of our lives. David did that. David inquired of the Lord, "Where shall I go?" And the Lord instructed him to go to Judah, as we know was made king. So let's look at our second point, extending the kingdom. David sends messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead. These are the men who buried Saul. In fact, these were the men in 1 Samuel 31, 8 to 13, who rescued Saul and his sons' bodies from the walls of Bethshan, from the Philistines some 10 miles away. They'd made an example of Saul and Jonathan by nailing them, these dead bodies, to the wall. So these men of Jabesh Gilead at night marched 10 miles, rescued the bodies, and brought the remains back and gave them an honorable burial. So why does David send a message of thanks to these men? David was truly thankful to the men of Jabesh Gilead. Within his message, he's asking for blessing on them in verse 5. He then makes a bid for their allegiance for his kingship. This is the first recorded act of the new king of Judah, which was to offer friendship and comfort to a group of Israelites, with the implication that David may be a Judean, but his heart belongs to Israel. These men were loyal to Saul. Now, we know there was animosity from Saul upon David, don't we? These men were loyal to Saul, and they had grown and shown great grit and determination on their raid of Beth Shem to return the bodies. So David calls them to submit to him as their newly appointed king. The king of God in Hebron had called him to be king. But his call, his appeal, is extended with such gentleness to these men. It wasn't an order. It wasn't something that was enforced. It wasn't something, well, you must bow down and worship. It was nothing like that at all. It was with a gentleness out of a care and concern. There he was in one breath thanking them. He could have been a great politician, and yet in the other hand, asking for their allegiance. Bearing in mind, these were men who were committed followers of Saul. I was reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 that says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Here is David extending a very gentle welcome to these guys. The words call for a total act of submission, but done in such a gentle way for all those who follow Christ. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." However, a right response to Christ can be costly. It can be one that we find difficult to pay, and yet we know that Christ gave up everything for us. I say it's costly. And what do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes we get so taken up with the trappings of life. We get wrapped up in the things of the world. And yet when God starts to move by his Spirit, there are times where we are challenged to give those up. And then that is the point that we find that difficult. Our text was written long ago and can completely appear remote to us this morning. But actually, we need to consider ourselves as citizens of Jabesh Gilead, as it's sandwiched between David and Abner, who was the leader of the army of Saul. Between the true kingdom in its mustard seed shape and a human worldly kingdom that dictates and expects allegiance. To defy the latter kingdom takes guts, takes courage. And such guts only come from the grace of God. It is through God's grace are we able to stand and know what is right and to be empowered to do what is right, so that the kingdom of God may extend. So we're called to be in the middle. Well, we are in the middle. We find this battle going on around us, and we've had reference to that earlier. That sense that calling of God is out there, is up there. Well, that's what we're aiming for. And yet, on the other hand, we have the world that is pulling us, trying to attract us with all its lure and temptation. And in this battle in the middle, we find ourselves. but it's by God's grace, God's strength, God's move of his spirit upon our lives, which enables us to stand firm and move towards that goal. Paul says, press on to the prize, doesn't he? Press on. So let's move on to my last point, opposing the kingdom. We see from our text that Abner, the commander of Saul's army, takes Saul's son, Ishbosheth, and makes him king over all Israel. It's a bit like a military coup. Abner's move is not merely the beginning of a civil conflict as opposing parties vie for power, but Abner knew that God had promised kingship to David, and so he needed to act fast. There couldn't be much delay if he was to see Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, reign. So in opposing the will of God, Abner chose to make Ishbosheth king. He was defiant against God's will and plan at that point. We know that there will always be the next Abner around the corner. But as God's people, we must not let the defiance of those outside the kingdom deter us to press on with what God has called us to do. Scripture tells us that when Christ comes again, he will sort the wheat from the chaff. So let us not be discouraged. If we only see a mustard seed form of the kingdom of God, let us rejoice. Because out of small beginnings come mighty things. Because we know that Christ has said he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So the Abners of this world will not prevail. Whatever we see on our television screens, whatever turmoil might be going on in the world, they will not prevail. For God's word says so. Do you believe God's word? It says that Christ will come again and will gather all those who love him to himself. So to try and summarize this together this morning, so let us ensure that our focus is upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let us take everything to God in prayer on a daily basis, trusting that he will guide our steps, and let us not run ahead of him, but stay in step with where the Spirit is leading. Even though we live in the last days, let us not be discouraged by the negativity that we see around us and on our TV screens and we read in the press, but let us hold firm to the faith that we profess as we wait for the coming of Christ to redeem the world. But in the meantime, let us not stop being salt and light. Let us be the people of God that called us to be in our communities every day and at every moment. David had a small beginning. He had a vision. He had a promise proclaimed over him, but it took time for that promise to reach its full realization. It takes time, for God is a God who is honing us. It's a bit like that potter and the clay image, isn't it? We are that bit of lumpy, bumpy clay that God is smoothing and shaping and forming into something that is beautiful that he will use for his glory. And in that forming, it takes time. It's not something that's done in a flash, but takes time to hone and to shape and to mold. So I don't know where you find yourself standing before God this morning. Are you finding that it's painful at the moment because God is shaping, God is nurturing, Or maybe God is blessing. Maybe God is in that place where you are just receiving such a wonderful time with him at the moment because things are good. But we know we can't always remain on that plane of things being good because God is wanting to stretch us. God is wanting us to know more of him, which means getting rid of less of us so we become less and he becomes more in all that he is doing in us. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that Lord, sometimes it can appear impenetrable. It can appear so abstract to where we are today. But Father, we believe your word is a living word. We believe, Lord, that as we wait on you, you grant us ears to hear and eyes to see what you are wanting to show to us through your word. We thank you for David's example this morning as we've studied. We thank you that out of small beginnings, Lord, you do fulfill the promises that you've spoken over your people. And Lord, we pray that if you have spoken a promise over us, Lord, we would not become despondent. But Father, we would be keen to seek after you, to know your leading and your guiding day by day. That Father, that at last you will bring us to that place where you have promised us to be. So we thank you and bless you. That Lord, you are the God of the mustard seed. The God who stands in the midst, Lord, even in the midst of persecution. And that we know your reign will never cease. So lead and guide us. Direct us day by day as we wait on you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.